Turn with me to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, the 18th chapter. This is the middle of the arrest and trial of Jesus. Jesus with the Roman governor of Judea, with Pontius Pilate. John 18, beginning at verse 33. Pilate then went back inside his palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is the truth?" retorted Pilate. "What is the truth?" retorted Pilate. For now, let's pause there and pray. Gracious God, we're thankful that we don't have to live by bread, by human nourishment alone. We can live and we do live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears and our minds and our hearts that we could receive and live in your living word, who is the truth, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat. You know, that's our March message series. As we walk toward Easter, we enter the season of Lent this week. Almost true. We know there are tons of things in our lives, things we hear, maybe even things we say that sound so close to the truth that we can convince ourselves that they are right, and they are not quite completely right. This message series is inspired in part by Craig Groeschel from Life Church in Oklahoma. Give credit where credit is due. Almost true. Almost true. Let's start by playing a game. Have you ever played Two Truths and a Lie? Two Truths and a Lie? Here are my three things. You decide which ones are truth and which ones are a lie, which one is a lie. I have played the piano since second grade. Black jelly beans are my favorite Easter candy, and I've preached the gospel on every continent. Oh, God. See, some of you were like so confident at the beginning, and then I tricked you. I threw you a curveball. Actually, it's that last one that's not true. I've never preached in Europe or in Australia, okay? So I've got some things ahead of me that I need to do, that I want to do. I have played the piano since the summer after first grade, and you don't know this. I love black jelly beans so much. I stockpile, and just this week, I finished my last bag that I had rationed out from last Easter. I'm serious about my black jelly beans. Some of you are regular dealers, providers for me. So that's your cue. That's your cue to start shopping, is the stuff's on the shelves already. What is truth? It's funny to think about lies and what can be close to the truth. What is truth? That is the question that Pontius Pilate asked Jesus. What is truth? It's the last week of Jesus' life. The leaders are plotting to kill him. They've interrogated him and then turned him over to Pilate, who questions his motives. Hear it again. Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. Isn't that the question? That may be the question that you most need to answer. What is truth? Here's one definition. Truth is what is absolute, constant, and true for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Truth is what is absolute, constant, and true for everyone, everywhere, all the time. And y'all, already, just by a definition like that, we're kind of stirring the pot against contemporary culture. Because we have a problem. Many people confuse the truth with their own perspective. Truth is absolute. Perspectives can vary greatly. And if we confuse the truth with our perspective, we may begin to think that truth is subjective, that truth changes over time, and that what is true for you doesn't have to be true for me. And since your truth is unique to you, you determine your truth. Y'all, that is like when I hear people say, your truth, to me that's like fingernails on the old chalkboard. If something sounds right, that's what we live in the world that says if something sounds right or if it feels right to you, then it must be true. And if you believe it, it's your truth. And so we hear that. Speak your truth. Your truth is your power. Live your truth. But what if that whole idea, your truth, what if that's a trap? What if that is a trap? Proverbs 14:12 says there is a path before each person that seems right, but it leads to death. There's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Just because something seems right doesn't make it true. In fact, that may be the most important truth about truth. Just because you believe something doesn't make it true. Just because you believe something doesn't make it true. We know that about history for thousands and thousands of years. There was a common belief that the earth was flat, right? How many of you today believe that the earth is flat? Don't get too close to the edge or you'll fall off. If you believe that the earth is flat, even if you believe that the earth is flat, you will never fall off the edge. Why? Because just because you believe it doesn't make it true. It's true that the earth is round whether you believe it's round or not. Imagine you're in the emergency room and you need a life-saving surgery and someone walks up and introduces themselves and says, I feel like I could be your surgeon today. Well, have you ever done this procedure? Oh, no, no, no. Well, did you go to medical school? No, but I feel I'm called to be your surgeon. How many of you are going to the OR with that person? Nobody. Nobody. Just because I may feel called to be a surgeon, that doesn't make me one. Just because you believe something doesn't make it true. Now, let's be clear. You have experience in life. You have experience in life, things you see and sense and things you feel on the inside. And those things matter. Those things matter. They're important. Your story is your story. Your thoughts are your thoughts. Your feelings are your feelings. And I'm not talking you out of your story or the interpretation of it or your feelings. I'm not talking you out of what you experience. But what I want to say is what you've experienced and what I've experienced isn't always the absolute truth. You've heard it said, right? Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Have you ever read what the prophet Jeremiah says about the human heart? The human heart can be the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But Jeremiah continues and says, God is on a mission because He knows the state of our human heart. He's come to redeem and restore it. And when we let feelings determine the truth, we're in trouble because our feelings, friends, our feelings can lie. They're dangers when you embrace your truth. We can get backed into a corner and believe that there are no absolute truths that apply to all people, that morality becomes subjective because right and wrong are relative, and right simply becomes whatever I can get away with or what I can convince others of. I become my own source of truth. And if it's true to me, then you can't question my truth. And so human relationships can authentically bog down if we don't have this common language of truth that we share. In the Bible, Paul wrote to Timothy about the dangers of your truth. He said, preach the word, God's word. Preach the word, because there's the assumption, preach the word, that's the quote, then here's my comment. He didn't say preach your opinion or your perspective or your feelings, because there's an assumption even within Scripture about the Word of God that God's Word is consistent and it's reliable. Paul says, preach the Word with great patience and careful instruction, correct and rebuke and encourage. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound teaching. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. This is true in the first century when Paul wrote this, as it is in the 21st century. What we need to hear is sometimes not what we want to hear. What we need to hear is sometimes not what we want to hear. Again, hear how Paul describes it. They turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. God's truth doesn't change based on our ability to handle it. And what we want to hear is often different from what we need to hear. When we've been wronged, when you've been wronged, I can still dial up some emotion from about 20 years ago when I was at a ministry conference in Atlanta, and my car was stolen out of a hotel parking lot. I can still remember how much fun it was, though, to tell that story over and over again, because I had been wronged. I was right to be angry. I was a victim, and they really should pay. And that's kind of what I wanted to hear, but that's not what I really needed to hear. I needed to hear that Jesus invites forgiveness. And you've heard it said, maybe, that when you forgive someone, instead of relishing that status as a victim, when you forgive someone, you set a prisoner free, and that prisoner is yourself. When you've forgiven someone, you set a prisoner free, and that prisoner is yourself. What we want to hear, stay angry. What we need to hear is forgive. What we want to hear is, I am my own person. I can make my own decisions. This is my body. It's my life. I can do whatever I want. What we need to hear, if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to hear that your body, that your life has been bought by a price. The blood of Jesus was given for you so that your body would belong to the Father. And everything you do with your body, then you belong to God, and you are set apart for His purpose and no longer for your own. We want to hear, it's not your fault. That's just the way you were wired. That's just the way you are. It's the way your family is. And everybody just gets that. You get a pass. It's just your personality. You just can't change the way you are. That's what we want to hear. But what we need to hear is that what you experience and what you feel does not determine who you are. And your past does not determine your future. What we want to hear is we're on our own. What we need to hear is God has given us of His Spirit, that we could walk toward Him and with Him. Just because we believe something doesn't make it true. But here's the good news about truth, y'all. Truth isn't just something we believe. Truth isn't something abstract floating around in the space between the molecules and atoms of the universe. Truth is not something we believe. Truth is someone we follow. On the last night with His disciples before the cross, Thomas asked Jesus, "Where are you going?" And Jesus answered this way, "I am the way." What is the way? Thomas asked. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus didn't say, I am a truth, one of several truths in the universe. Jesus said, I am the truth. And Jesus is the truth who has come into the world to claim you and to reclaim you for the Father once again. And we get into trouble here because Jesus said, no one comes to God, no one comes to the Father except that they come through Jesus. That is the truth because He is the truth. We can get all kind of agreement in the world when we talk about Jesus as loving and caring, when we emphasize His healing power or maybe the principles He teaches. But it's a harder thing for us to stand with truth, with Jesus, the truth, when He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. The Bible calls Jesus the Word made flesh, the truth of God. And so there's a challenge when our truth, your truth, comes into conflict with Jesus, with the truth. When Jesus' truth is different from what you believe, it's time to die to your truth and live according to the truth. Jesus does care about you, and He loves you deeply, but ultimately He doesn't care what you feel. If what you feel is causing you to live a life contrary to the truth, whether it's self-centeredness or pride or lying or lust or judgment, whether you're actively hurting others or simply passively letting life happen to you instead of acting the way He's called you to act, there is no option but to die to your truth and live again according to God's by the power of the Spirit. There is no option to die to your truth and to live according to God's. I want us to pause as we prepare for Holy Communion. I want us to pause and pray together the prayer of confession. I'm kind of throwing a curveball to Lisa in the booth up there. Oh, look, that's quick. She's really good, y'all. We'll double your salary. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We failed to be an obedient church. We've not done Your will. We've broken Your law. We've rebelled against Your love. We've not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Confession is a tough sell. Confession is a tough sell. This idea that Jesus is the truth, that's a tough sell. It was hard for Pilate to get his brain around. Pilate was not a popular guy, what we know from history in addition to what we read in the Scripture. He was always nervous about his standing with the authorities over him back in Rome, and he was nervous about his standing with the local authorities and the crowds in Jerusalem. That's why he asked Jesus, "What is the truth?" And with that, Pilate went out. Here it is. We're picking up in John chapter 18. With this, he went out again to the leaders gathered there. And he said, I find no basis for a charge against Jesus, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release Jesus, the King of the Jews? And they shouted back, no, not Jesus. Give us Barabbas. Now, Barabbas is not a major character in the Bible. This is his only appearance. But what we know is that Barabbas was a common criminal. He was a liar. He was a thief. He was a murderer. And the crowd chose him over Jesus. Some of you will remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10 when he tells us that he is the good shepherd. He says the devil comes, the enemy comes to lie and to steal and to destroy. It's almost like Barabbas, isn't it? He's a liar, he's a thief, he's a murderer, a destroyer. And Jesus says, I've come that you would have life and have it abundantly, have it in the full. But the crowd chose Barabbas. And so Pilate chose Barabbas. And so Pilate must be right. He's the guy in charge. Doesn't might make right? It's another misconception in every era. Might makes right? That doesn't make good sense. How about the crowd? He put it to a popular vote. The vote went for Barabbas. Friends, that ought to challenge everything we think about the way our life is organized. Just because a person's got an office doesn't make it right. Just because there's been a vote doesn't make it right. Truth is truth is truth is truth is Jesus. And every claim to power or experience or feeling or action, every claim will be lined up against Jesus. Jesus is the truth, and Jesus, when necessary, can be confrontational. He can be difficult to hear because Jesus comes in mercy. He comes in grace, but grace invites transformation. Grace requires transformation. It's easier to deal with a lie. It's easier to deal with your truth if you've convinced yourself that you're fine and everything's convenient and comfortable for you. But truth is a person. Jesus is the love of God, and He is loving truth come to you. Jesus is life-giving truth, and He has come to you. Jesus is life-changing truth. He is not a truth that condemns, but He is a truth that sets people free. We already sang about it, our first song today, "The chains are gone, my heart set free." Friends, that's the truth of Jesus coming, not to condemn or destroy, but to bring abundant freedom. Just because you believe something to be true doesn't make it true. Truth is not something we believe, but it's someone. It's someone we follow. It's someone we follow because He's come to us and demonstrated the fullness of the Father's grace and truth. He did it when He healed the sick. He did it when He freed people from demonic oppression. He did it when He gathered people around Him, young and old, adults and children, and spoke to them words of wisdom and life. He did it when He invited men like us to be His closest friends and followers and disciples, living His life in transparency before all humanity. He did it when He gave His life on the cross. He did it when He went into the grave, the place that you had gone because of your choice, because of your rejection of truth, because He claimed the truth. He went to the grave to free you from the grave. And by the power of God, He was raised to life. And from the right hand of the Father, He sends His Spirit. Sends His Spirit even today to reanimate you, to re-encourage you, to give you everything you need to hear the truth and to walk in the truth. And so, friends, as we come to the table today, As we come to the table today to participate again, to receive these signs of His body broken and His blood poured out, may we remember that this is an act of fellowship. It's an act of transformation. It's a reminder that Jesus has given His life for the truth. Truth that will set you free. And as you receive these signs of His life and reminders of His death, there's an invitation that this is your moment to die. Die to your truth and embrace Him in His truth. Let's pray together.